This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's Tuesday, the 8th of February, 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning, KL. Oh, whoever's listening out there in the World Wide Web.
Happy Tuesday. It's my least favorite day of the week.
But, why?
Well, because yesterday was only Monday and there's still so many more days to the weekend. Tuesday is my hump day. I feel like, oh, Tuesday. It's only Tuesday.
It's not Monday that is worst?
It is Tuesday.
Okay.
It is Tuesday. But in any case, Tuesday is made much better with you ladies in studio with me. And we have a lot of great conversations lined up this morning. So starting with at 7:15 later, we're going to ask the question, is MCA the dark horse in the Johor State elections? We'll discuss the prospects of the long-term Barisan National Component Party with political analyst Dr. James Chin.
And at 7:30, we are seeing oil reach multi-year highs. Will it hit the $100 per barrel myth? We discuss the global outlook for oil markets with Horace Chun of Bloomberg Intelligence.
It's not a myth. It has happened before.
Yes.
Unlike a phoenix or a dragon. Those are myths, real myths. I haven't seen one. Meanwhile, we'll also be looking at minimum wage and asking the question if 1,500 ringgit is too much. And the tackle the perennial conundrum of low wages in Malaysia with analysis from business commentator C. Pankaj Kumar.
All right, we'll have all this and more today, Friday, the 8th of February. Stay tuned here, BFM 89.9. That was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros with Home. And that was certainly a nice way to kickstart this Tuesday morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Chen Li. We're not home, but we will take you to your workplace. From the comfort of your home in the best way possible. In any case, we're kicking off our show this morning with this question. Well, I have this question for you. How's your resolution to work out more this year going at this stage on February 8th?
Bad.
Well, Xiaoning accepted. I know many of us, myself included, struggle to exercise regularly despite the best of intentions. But there is this article in the New York Times that gives a suggestion that might help. And Chen Li, you have this story for us.
Yes. So instead of having, maybe when you work out, you visualize a thinner yourself, you know, or fitting into that jeans or that dress or whatever. Instead, maybe you should think about how your body, what your body can do or cannot do. So this is what the article is talking about. So the key to staying active long term may be to care less about how you look and more about how you feel. So body neutrality is the word that they were saying, which is the ability to accept and respect your body, even if it's not the way you prefer it to be. So, for example, maybe you have thunder thighs, but think about how powerful that
are you talking about me? Are you talking about me, Chili?
I'm talking about myself.
So this article, it's an opinion piece by Charlotte Cowles, if I'm not mistaken. And she is writing about how she felt after she delivered her first baby. And she was really worried about how she would regain her post-pregnancy body. But I think it was her therapist, or was it her mother? Her mother who gave her the advice that don't worry about how you look at this moment. You know, just focus on enjoying your physical state as it is right now. And
yes.
That's how she started just looking at, not caring so much about the deficiencies that she perceives in how she looks after giving birth.
I agree with this article in some respects, but also disagree with some respects. Okay, I think the article was useful to highlight that everything takes time. Okay, so she eventually did lose the weight, but it took 5 months. And for her, I think it was the process of accepting that, you know, it's okay. It's a journey and I will get there eventually. So I think that's great. I think all of us, if you have these goals, and I'm saying only if you have these goals, because some people don't have them and you're happy the way you are, then be happy. Okay. But let's say you're not happy and you want to change a certain thing. I think what has become a problem is social media makes it seem that you can attain these goals like tomorrow, because you've got all these models, right? Or actresses, that give birth. And then within what looks like a month, they're back to their old bodies.
Like a week sometimes.
Yeah, it's impossible. And even if they did get back to their old bodies, they had immense help. They had trainers, they had nutritionists, they have a whole team of people to make them look exactly the way they were.
A lot of sacrifices, actually.
Yes, but yes. It's not realistic at all. At all, at all. So I think sometimes there's that unnecessary stress, right? Because we want to live up to a certain, you know, standard. But those standards in the first place are an illusion. So I think this article is great to remind people, you take your time. Don't rush. Do what's right for you.
I think that's a great point that you make, Xiaoning. And on top of that, I think the concept of body neutrality for me, as someone who struggles to, you know, have a regular exercise routine because it just feels like too much work and I don't enjoy exercise.
You don't at all.
I don't at all. Well, I just haven't found an exercise that makes me feel good to do it. It feels like torture.
There was a class. There was a class I do believe that you did enjoy and was it the nap class?
Oh, that's right.
There was one, right? Because there's a gym in our building and when I joined, I was so fascinated by this class.
I don't think anybody would consider napping an exercise, Xiaoning, but yes.
But it was a class, right?
It was a class in a gym, correct. So I did enjoy that very much. That's not going to help me lose weight if that's my goal though, right? But I like the idea of body neutrality in not getting so caught up in the numbers of it, but more in of how am I feeling stronger, you know? Am I walking faster, for example? Do I lose less breath when I walk up the stairs? So things like that, I think it's really helpful.
Yes.
And with this kind of mindset shift, maybe I will start to exercise more regularly. Who knows?
Yes, I'm totally a believer in this because I don't really lose a lot of weight and I have fun to die too. And I always like to focus on how much stronger my legs are because I used to cycle and I love it when I can climb up that hill. You know,
the satisfaction.
Exactly. Or, you know, if I could walk up the stairs without a lot of panting or stuff like that. I like that. I like those kind of things. Focus on what my body can do rather than I just cannot change the size of my thighs, lah, guys.
Right.
You can, but it's a lot of work. Too much work sometimes.
Yes, yes.
And if it feels like torture, maybe it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Anyways.
You've got to balance it, right, in terms of what you want. And I think at the end of the day, for me, your own body image is unfortunately shaped by your past, by society.
Your genes.
Your genes. You can't run away from it. I mean, I'm still waiting to grow up, as in I'm still waiting for those extra inches so I'll finally be 5 feet five, which is never happening. But it's all these factors, right? But at the same time, that's why I say I don't always agree. I think if you do have a goal, okay, and you visualize that goal sometimes, that will help you. You've got to, for individuals, you want to attain it, so you visualize it, and so you work towards it, rather than say, I'm never going to get there. But I think it has to have that dose of realism. Because otherwise, it's an exercise in futility. No pun intended.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to remind ourselves that what works for one person might not work for you. So it's all about finding what kind of mixture of exercise and eating healthy and living well that works best for you. So don't feel too disheartened if it's taking you longer to get to your goals. Sometimes that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know everybody's been eating a lot because it's the Chinese New Year season. So don't get too hung up on it. Enjoy that yisang, enjoy that jam tart, enjoy that cookie. But, you know, and after it all, you've got to go back to not so much the weight you used to be, but go back to those better eating habits and that healthier lifestyle.
Absolutely. Tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Are you on board with the concept of body neutrality? You know, what's motivated you to keep exercising regularly or eating healthy? We'd love to hear from you. We are taking a quick break. It's 6:14 in the morning now. We'll continue the conversation about healthy living after the break, this time looking at what that means for an aging population. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. That was Shake Down Street by The Grateful Dead. We're The Grateful Living. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. Now, we have some WhatsApp comments that came in on the issue of body neutrality and what motivates you to work out. Xiaoning, who's WhatsApped in this morning?
Stephen has WhatsApped in and he said his motivation to work out is because he has three. One is mixing with friends who work out and seeing them also get better physically. Two, this is the clever one, to skip traffic jam after 5 p.m. Then the third one, which I think makes him sound a little bit like me. I paid for gym monthly fees, have to get my return on investment back.
Good point there, Stephen. I think those are all pretty strong motivators.
Very valid. Ro also chimed in and he says that, I agree it's more about how you feel than look, but unfortunately, I feel and look wobbly. Good thing I love jelly.
Well, that's one way to look at it, Ro, indeed.
Acceptance.
Tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio on any of the stories that we're discussing this morning. We're turning our attention now to the issue of life expectancy and living longer. So across the region, life expectancy has risen considerably over the years. I mean, if you look here in Malaysia, in the 1960s, an adult was expected to live to around 60 years of age. But today, that number is 76 years old. So we're living longer. But are we living better? Because living longer isn't much use if half of that extra time is spent bedridden.
Yes, it is not about living longer, but living healthily for longer. So this Economist article takes us to Japan, the oldest country in the world, with men average life of 81.6 years old and women 87.7 years old. So that they have made, Japan has actually made extending life, healthy life expectancy as a central pillar of their policy and driving many efforts around Japan.
So it's not just life expectancy, but it's healthy life expectancy.
Exactly.
So HLE.
Okay, I'm thinking about the reasons why, right? And for me, I can imagine is that imagine that if people are healthy, then there's less burden on your healthcare system, right? And you don't have to worry so much about them going to the hospital, getting sick, having operations, having long life diseases. Generally, if you're healthy, then none of this exists. So then it doesn't become a burden on the state's finances. And when you're talking about Japan, right? Mm. This is the country that sells more adult diapers than baby diapers. Mm. So very important that they do look at all these issues. Now, the question is, can this be replicated here in Malaysia? Now, what worries me, and we've had a lot of studies on this, is the fact that Malaysians are not just getting older, but they're not ready to retire even from a financial perspective, right? Because EPF came out with all these studies that showed that very, very few people had, what, 240,000? I think that was what they recommended for people to retire on.
That's the minimum?
Bare minimum, which doesn't even, isn't enough if you live honestly in the Klang Valley. I'm not even sure, honestly, it's enough even if you lived in a small town in Perlis anymore with inflation and the rising cost of living, right? So there's so many aspects to this. I think you need to consider, one, your physical health. The other thing is your mental health. That's very, very important.
That's right. So there are many aspects to this. I agree with you. But I want to draw our attention to a broader social and environmental consideration. And that's what's mentioned in the article, which is jobs are essential. So, yes.
Okay.
So working longer keeps people physically and mentally active, but also keeps them connected to others, which I tend to agree, actually. I've discussed this with my friends a lot. I said, I don't really want to retire. So I want to bring our attention to retirement age here a little bit. So is it, I'm just thinking, you know, should we have an optional retirement age, as in like at 60? Don't force me to retire.
It's mandatory currently, right? I think it's law.
It is. It is. So instead of making it mandatory, how about an optional one? Let me work longer. I know it's kind of weird, right?
But so you want people to have the option to choose.
Yes.
So, you know, so raise the bar for the mandatory retirement age. Well, there are pluses and minuses, right? Some people say, oh, if you do that, then you won't allow the younger people to actually join the workforce.
That's right. And if you look at across the region, I see that Malaysia has a 60-year retirement age. Indonesia is at 58.
Singapore raised theirs recently.
That's right. Thailand is at 60, so that's the general. Mm. But Singapore does have a higher...
65, I think.
65. Yes. I feel like discussions on retirement age are always very contentious because you have a lot of people who are against it. Not as many maybe arguing for it. I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I get in my circle sometimes.
I think it needs to be fluid, right? It cannot be like this fixed age. In a way, you need to adjust in terms of like as the population ages. Also, and look at the lack of skill set, right? If there is really nobody that can do the job, I mean, why should you let that person go? But I think this article does bring up some very valid points in terms of work can be fulfilling. For me, retirement is also something I'm not keen on, but maybe more flexible work arrangements.
That's right.
You know, the normal grind of 9 to 5 may not appeal to me at 60, but maybe the 3 days a week.
A part-time kind of arrangement.
So that, you know, I'm kept active, I'm contributing. But I think the way the article ends is very cute in the sense that it reminds us that if you really want to be healthy, you have to be happy. Right? Because it says that one of the best ways of ensuring healthiness is to make sure that you keep your friendships going even in whatever age you are. Have that dinner with them, have that drinks with them. Maybe like what Stephen says, exercise with them, right? Because you want to keep that kind of motivation going, you know. Otherwise, you'll be very lonely and that will have an impact on mental health.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. I think it's really important for the elderly community to be to keep up with those friendships. I think we see a lot of people, especially in Japan, sometimes you get all those stories of people who end up living alone and just dying alone, which is very sad. Mm. There needs to be more, I suppose, community engagement to get them back into the community and keep those ties strong.
But I worry because whether COVID-19 has made this even more challenging.
Yep.
That's true.
Indeed. Well, tell us what you think about this. You know, how do we ensure that we live longer, better? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're heading into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll check out the headlines around the world. Taking you to the bulletin is Sade with Paradise, BFM 89.9. That was The Velvet Underground with Who Loves the Sun? We do. We're The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Chen Li, taking you through the morning all the way up to 10 a.m. It's 6:39 a.m. right now, and it's that time of the day when we take a look at what's making headlines around the world. So Chen Li, why don't you get us started with the first story? What's caught your eye this morning?
Hong Kong. So basically, they are having a doubling of cases every 3 days, which yesterday they recorded 607 cases, which locally transmitted cases, and out of which 150 of the cases or infections can be linked, whereas the rest seems to be not detectable so far.
Well, for a place that's observing the zero COVID policy, I think 600 cases is a lot. That's a lot. That's very far
tripling
from zero.
Yeah, and I'm sure they must be puzzled because they have one of the most strict quarantine rules laws out there in the worldwide universe, right? So they're a city of 7.5 million people. Everything is, if you've been to Hong Kong, you know, everything is like
compact,
congested. You can hardly run away from anyone, right? So maybe it is cause for concern. Now, related to this story is in the Singapore Straits Times, and they say that Hong Kong residents have raided supermarket shelves as COVID-19 surges disrupt supplies. So the lorries that normally bring food from China, so all your fresh vegetables in particular, can't come through because they've been more strict than ever in checking. So as a tiny island, they import 90% of their food supplies, with mainland, as I said, being the main source. So they're already seeing a shortage of some foreign imported goods, including premium seafood due to stringent flight restrictions. And now it's even being extended to even your normal vegetables. So supermarkets are empty, or more empty than they should be.
I mean, I think of Hong Kong and I remember the guinea pigs that they tried to cull because they were worried that would spread COVID-19, the hamsters. Yep. Well, obviously that has not worked because cases are rising, you know, so lots to ponder about there in terms of how they're responding to COVID-19.
This is like in the early days of COVID-19, right? Like we rewind back to March, April 2020, because now Hong Kong, they're running out of things like instant noodles and toilet rolls.
Oh, toilet rolls.
Oh, that's like deja vu all over
again.
Oh my God, yes.
Well, from Hong Kong, can I take you over to Canada, where we've been following the truckers that are rallying against COVID-19 vaccine mandates. They have been camped out in Ottawa, the capital, for the past week or so, or even more. Well, now the mayor of Canada's capital has declared a state of emergency because these truckers have been there for all this time, and they're really, they are obstructing activities, essentially, how people business, work.
Yeah, they're just very disruptive, aren't they?
It's becoming a bit of a nuisance. And I believe just a few hours ago, a judge in court ruled that the truckers can't honk their horns because the honking of horns is residents have complained about it. So now they've said, you know, you don't need to honk your horn. That's not like a statement of some sort. So that's as far as I know, that's what's happened so far.
Okay, I've got this interesting piece of news from the Bloomberg, actually. And it came out yesterday evening. And if you're a sports fan, this might have caught your eye. Because the ex-Manchester United players are forming a sports venture with wealthy Singaporeans. And those two wealthy Singaporeans are Peter Lim and his son Lim Wee Kiat. They are going to create this sports-related investment. And I learned this new term. It's creating a decentralized autonomous organization, otherwise known as a DAO. Now, it's an entity that is meant to have a distributed governance model and brings together participants with set goals or ideas that will aim to connect sports enthusiasts globally. And I was like, what does this all mean?
Are they starting a social media platform? Is that what it sounds like to me? That's some kind of social community thing. What is it?
Yeah, but it involves money-making ideas. And I think there's some NFTs involved in that.
Uh-huh. So interesting.
Yeah, the people who are like involved, right, include Manchester United football players like Gary Neville, Paul Scholes. Added to that is the management team of this DAO include people like Darius Sid, who's the founder of QCP Capital, even Gabriel Young, who worked at the Monetary Authority of Singapore. I don't know how all this is going to work out. Like, how do you make money for this? What's the monetization game here?
Interesting. When you mention NFTs, I can see how they think this could be a moneymaker for them, because Manchester United does have a very dedicated fan base, right? So I imagine that if you issue some MU-related NFTs, there will be people who want to snap that up.
Yeah, well, we'll be watching this space, because I really am curious. I mean, this is like the latest thing, right?
It is. It's something that baffles me in a way as well. But, you know, tell us what you think. Would you buy a Manchester United NFT? In any case, it's 6:44 in the morning. We're taking a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to cover what's making headlines in our local newspapers and portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Are you in by Incubus? We are in. The morning run is in studio. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. It's 6:49 in the morning, and we are taking a look at what's making headlines in our newspapers and portals. Who'd like to start us off this morning?
I will start with a very, it's not news, but it's something that caught my eye in The Star. I do believe it's also in the New Straits Times. And it's a congratulatory message from someone that is normally very shy. And that is our ex-finance minister, Tun Daim Zainuddin. And he congratulates two individuals, Tan Sri Lim Kok Tay and Datuk Lim Chee Wah, of Genting fame. Okay, so one is the older brother and one's the younger brother, for flying the Malaysian flag in the 2022 Winter Olympics by building the Genting Secret Garden Resort and Genting Snow Park, which is one of the key snow competition venues for the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. I found this like...
It's such a curious ad.
Yeah, and it's all in black and white. And it's a full page.
Full page. Yeah. In both newspapers so far that we've seen.
Yes. Okay.
So that's something, a curiosity of the morning. If anybody out there knows what this is about, you know, you can WhatsApp us in and fill us in, 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Apart from that, what are the news stories that have caught our eye? I think everyone is talking about Health Minister Kari Jamaluddin's press conference yesterday. He made some announcements regarding the Omicron variant.
Yes. So for those who took the Sinovac, those Sinovac recipients like me, you better have your booster shot by the end of February, because by March, if you still don't have your booster shot, you will not have your full vaccinated status anymore.
So they're really pushing for people to get their boosters. I think they have given a leeway to Sinovac vaccine recipients who are hesitant to take either Pfizer or AstraZeneca boosters. They will be allowed to get Sinovac boosters. I think it's on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yep.
This is really to emphasize the point that we need our population boosted in order to, contain Omicron.
Yeah, so this is in page 5 of The Star. It's following up on what you said, Chen Li. Mm-hmm. So he says, the number of those vaccinated with Sinovac who have not gotten their booster shots is high, about 3.5 million people. And he says that since they insist on getting Sinovac, although we encourage getting Pfizer and AZ booster shots with better efficacy, we will allow them to have Sinovac for their booster. Any booster is better than no booster.
Mm.
So guys, if you haven't got your booster shot, please go and get them now, because the Omicron wave is here. And according to KJ, based on mathematical models, they're expecting to see the Omicron wave peaking sometime towards the end of March.
That's right. It could... we don't know how high that could be. Earlier yesterday, I think the Director General of Health did say that there are some estimates that cases could reach 22,000 by March. They were 11,000 yesterday. As of February 6, 52.8% of adults have received their boosters. There's a headline in the Utusan Malaysia today that says that 70% of boosted population is the target. So yes, if you haven't gotten your boosters yet, do try and find out how you can get that as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I also got this article on page 4 of The Star, which is about the made MOU, right? Apparently, there's a delay now, and employment agencies are urging the government to explain this because there was supposed to be a pilot project to recruit 10,000 domestic workers from Indonesia. And you see this back and forth. Even, I think, the Indonesian embassy has weighed into this discussion, right? That there's a lack of clarity with regards to the MOU. And then we saw that delay also with the Bangladeshi government. And it is causing issues, I think, in terms of a lot of households. These are for, of course, the domestic help. And also for even manufacturing companies or even F&B. Mm. Everyone's crying and saying, like, look, you know, it's really tight that you can't even hire locals, even if you wanted to.
Right. It's causing a lot of consternation. And I hope this is something that the Ministry of Human Resources and those relevant agencies are looking into closely.
Yes. And it should be fair to all, as you know, even to the, especially to the foreign workers, if you ask me.
Mm. All right. Before we've got about a minute before we head into the news. Does anybody want to cover any quick stories?
MACC raided Mara. They see some papers. And then on Malaysian Reserve front page, they say overhaul Mara Corp or close it down.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of follow-up stories on that. We'll be keeping a close eye on that. Can I just end with this? I suppose it's an encouragement to get your vaccine booster. Thailand is having talks with China and Malaysia on later this month to establish travel bubbles for vaccinated travelers. All the more reason for you to have that fully vaccinated status in your My Sejahtera if you want to travel to Thailand.
Australia, by the way, is opening its borders later this month.
That's so, true. February 21st.
Know, yeah, so all of you who haven't got your booster shots, please do so you can get on the plane again and go somewhere.
Well, 6:55 in the morning, we're heading into the 7 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we'll be back with a look at what's moving global markets. Taking you to the news is Stevie Wonder with Superstition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.